Welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
Doing things a little bit differently today. Our teaching is going to be in a couple of components throughout the service. And we thought we'd surprise you by changing your seating order a bit today. So I hope you're enjoying that. I know that I've spoken to some who aren't. Change is hard, you know. Change is hard, but change is good. Listen, if you're new here to our community, you need to know this is we do this every year. We change the seating up at Easter time, and we put the cross at the center of our room. And you know why we do it. I don't really need to explain it. The cross needs to be center. This is the message that we're going to be talking about today, is the cross of Christ. We're going to be talking about his crucifixion. We're going to be talking about how that sacrifice intersects with our lives and changes us forever. And so what better place than to put the cross is right here, right in the middle, right center to where we're at. And you know, there are a few that are kind of craning around the cross, trying to see the words on the screen, like, oh, that's in the way. Getting a little annoying sometimes. And you know, the truth of the fact is that sometimes the cross does get in our way, doesn't it? When we think about the truth, we think about right and wrong and the decisions that we make, sometimes the cross does get in the way. And so really, it's also symbolic of that sometimes it's always okay for it to be in the way. And so may we be reminded of that today as well as we gather on this Palm Sunday. Easter means God is love. Easter means God is love. You've got your Bible with you. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. We'll begin at verse 7. If you've got your phone, you can flip to that as well. And if you have neither, we have it on the screen for you. We, of course, have been moving through our series in 1 John. Let me just begin here. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. Easter means God is love. Well, it's a great title as we move into this Sunday. And next Sunday, but it's not something we came up with. You can see that it's absolutely reflected in the scripture that we've read from 1 John. God is love. In verse 7, John leaves no doubt where that love originates. It comes from God. And those who know him know love. In other words, when you are in that powerful embrace of God, in that consuming love, it's a bit like standing underneath a waterfall. You just can't help but get wet. It just pours out on you. In fact, believers are so transformed by his love that John says our faith is measured by its expression in us. He says, if you don't love, you don't know God. Why? Because God himself is love. And when you embrace that waterfall, you are going to get wet. You're just going to get wet. And if you're not wet, it's likely that you haven't yet met the waterfall. Easter is a season when our remarkable encounter with that love is remembered and celebrated. And our passage from 1 John helps us today to focus on what is undoubtedly the greatest the greatest expression of love ever known to humankind. And it was expressed here on the cross of Christ. See, what happened there, it changed the world. It changed us. It changed how we look at things, how we do things. It changed how we love. And as we move into this week, this Passion Week, and approach Easter, our focus this morning is going to be right here. It's going to be on the cross. This amazing and very, very personal expression of love for us that transforms us, transforms our world view, and gives us hope beyond this lifetime. So using the grid of the cross and our 1 John passage, we're going to really look at three aspects of love this morning. They are this: love's mission, love's expression, and love's response. Those three things. So we'll begin with love's mission because it's the first on the list. In the beginning of John's gospel, in chapter 1, John describes the mission of Jesus and its outcomes. Listen to this. He came into the very world that he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or pain, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. See, this was love's mission. Jesus came so that we, you and I, could become children of God. Well, you know, Christmas, of course, was the beginning of his story on earth. God incarnate. He walked and lived in the very world that he created. But you know what? It was much more than just kind of an earthly stopover to check and see how the troops were doing. Jesus was on a mission. He was on a mission. His assignment from his Father in heaven was to provide a bridge to a very, very broken world. A bridge that would span the distance between our sinfulness and a holy God. Love's mission to redeem a lost humanity would require an incredible sacrifice, a permanent sacrifice. The people of God had been living under the Old Testament law, and they had been bringing sacrifices before God for hundreds and hundreds of years, and it was done under a system of law that reminded them of right and wrong and reminded them constantly of their broken humanity. But it was a remedy that was never meant to be a permanent solution. The permanent solution would come in the form of a final sacrifice, one that was for all time, and that was Jesus, God's own Son. Love's mission would require the cross. Well, as I mentioned, today is Palm Sunday. And so a week today, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And you need to come because we're going to party hardy right here. And you know, our tendency sometimes on this Sunday is to move quickly to the resurrection. But I'll tell you what, today what we need to do is focus on the cross. We need to focus on the cross. You know, the Bible describes the final days of Jesus' mission leading to the cross. And it's often referred to as the Passion Week or Holy Week. And you know, the days ahead of the cross really provide for us this fascinating study, because in them we can see the extent of the sacrifice that Jesus was about to make. We see him in those days as the God-man, fully God and fully man, having given up his divine rights to live among us as we live, but without sin, knowing everything that we feel, understanding separation and understanding pain, and yet all along having the full knowledge of the consequences that were about to come, love's mission on earth. So let's begin our Passion Week with Luke chapter 19, verse 36. This describes Jesus going into Jerusalem. As he rode along, the crowds spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started, down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all of the wonderful miracles that they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven. That's what they were shouting as Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. This is often called the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And so what's happening here is he's making his way through all of these cheering crowds who see him as their hope. Their hope for a better day ahead. But they see him more as an earthly king and a political salvation. And so what happens is they cheer him on. This is their hope. It's an earthly hope. And they put the garments in front of them on the road. And they're waving the palm leaves and adoration and all of that. And Jesus, of course, knows that the cross is right around the corner. And that many who shout his name in praise on this day will also be shouting for his death when he will face Pilate's judgment in just a few days. But their hypocrisy does not take him from his mission. You see, Jesus knows the heart of man well. He knows it very well. And that's exactly why he has come, is to heal its brokenness. Remember, he's already said, I come for the sick, for they need the physician. And he is the great healer. And so as the entourage comes closer to Jerusalem, what happens is that Jesus, he begins to weep. And he weeps for all that are in that city who have or will be rejecting him as Messiah and have missed their opportunity for salvation. And here is his heart breaks for those who cannot and for those who will not see the truth of love's mission. And it would not be the last time in the days ahead that he would express his deep, profound grief over what lay ahead of him. Near the end of the week, Jesus faces the betrayal of one of his very own. Judas Iscariot turns him in for a few Roman coins. And again, Jesus knows about the betrayal well before it happens. But that betrayal, it's one of those times when God takes a bad situation and he redeems it for good. Well, after sharing the Last Supper and the First Communion with his disciples, they leave the upper room and they go to a familiar place. It is on the Mount of Olives. It's a garden. And it's in that garden that we receive this profoundly disturbing glimpse of the awareness that Jesus has of the utter horror that he is facing. It's now only just a few hours away. And what makes it worse is that as we read through Scripture, he's going to face it alone. He goes there with his disciples, but Scripture records the fact that they fall asleep in their grief. So Jesus faces this by himself. Luke chapter 22, verse 41 says, he walked away, this is in the garden, about a stone's throw, and knelt down, and he prayed, Father, if you were willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. And then an angel from heaven appeared and
strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. This was Jesus in a place of incredible agony. See, the excruciating pain of this cross was ahead of him. But as brutal and as disgusting as it was, the suffering that Jesus faced went much farther beyond the physical pain of the cross. This is important for us to understand, but Jesus knew that he would be facing separation from his Father. That as he accepted the weight of our sin and our punishment for that sin, he would in those moments be absolutely isolated from the one who sent him. Because a holy and righteous God cannot look upon or be connected in any way with sin. I wonder if the band would come up. I want you to think about this moment that Jesus had. He is in the garden, and he is considering not only this, the cross, but he is considering the separation that he will feel from God. Do you know what? We will never understand the significance of that separation. I don't believe it's possible for us in our humanity to understand it. The Son, inextricably woven into the Trinity, he's separated by the load of humanity's sin. Your sin and my sin. So I hope this morning that we can grasp the significance of his own human voice calling out to his Father in heaven. When he said this, he said, "Please take this cup of suffering away from me." In his human heart, he knew, he felt what was about to happen. Incredible sacrifice. And may we grasp the significance of his divine voice that put love's mission ahead of his pain when he said, "Yet I want your will to be done and not mine." This was his mission. The cross was before him, and so was our salvation. You see, Easter means God is love. Mission that we were just talking about leads to love's expression. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. You know, one of the most important things I think we've been learning from our study of 1 John over the last few weeks is that love is best and most powerfully expressed through the giving of something up for the sake of another. Sometimes the cost of sacrifice can be very high. In fact, Jesus said himself in the Gospel of John 15, verse 13, he said this, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." Love's mission meant that Jesus would not only talk about the greatest love possible, but he would become its example, and that he would lay his life down for us. This is love's expression. God incarnate hung upon a cross for the sake and love of a broken humanity. I think Paul really captures that picture well. I love this. It's in Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. This is what he says. And he really captures, I think, the significance of the sacrifice. "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time He died for us as sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. I like this passage in Romans because I think it really has three strong truths for us. The first truth is this, is that mankind was in a pickle, like really kind of messed up. From Adam's time, we followed a path of separation from God. And sin is all about that. Sin is about a separation from God. And none of us in this room is exempt from that. It's a part of our nature. But it is at Easter that we celebrate the remedy. And that remedy leads us to the second truth that Paul talks about in Romans. You know, if there was any hope at all to narrow that gap between God and his created, like love, it would have to originate with God. He knew that we could not and that we would not do it on our own because that's our nature. And so, in his great love, he sent his own son, his only begotten son, as that final sacrifice that we talked about earlier. See, when Jesus went to the cross, he carried with him all of our stuff, all of our sin, all of our mistakes, all of our messes. He carried our past sin. He carried our present sin. And he carries our future sin. That's how powerful his work there was and is for us. The cross resulted in forgiveness for anyone who would receive it through a meaningful relationship with Jesus. That's love's expression. Mercy. Allowing the punishment for our sins to be taken on by Jesus. Our deserved penalty paid in full by the one who went to the cross. That's love's expression. Love's expression is God's grace, the extension of forgiveness as an undeserved gift because we didn't deserve it, but he gave it to us in love. It's not something that we can earn by trying to be good or trying to do good things. This is an undeserved gift and is given in his awesome love and grace for us to receive. And here's the third truth that we see in that passage of Romans. And that has to do with God's timing. Christ came at just the right time. He came at just the right time. So you and I have the opportunity, the gift, to choose a forgiven and free life now, which is God's greatest desire for us. See, he desires for us to be his sons and daughters. He desires us for us to be within that family. And God's timing is always perfect. We have that opportunity to make that decision to follow him. This is love's expression. This is love's expression. This Friday is Good Friday, of course. And as Luke was saying, we're going to gather together as a community here in Fort Langley with other members of churches. And we're going to walk the stations of the cross together, remembering those significant points along the way that signaled the end of Jesus' mission on earth. The betrayal, the mockery that was his trial, the magnitude of the pain that he would bear for us, beaten and crucified and separated for a time from his Father. And at one of the final stations, and we do this year after year, we will read together what happened on that day. It says that the sky became dark for 3 hours. This is how it's described in the Gospel of Luke. By this time it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Imagine this, 3 hours of total darkness. The light from the sun was gone. And suddenly, it says, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn right down the middle. And at that moment, this relationship opened between us and our God. We were no longer separated from him. And then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. Love's mission on earth complete. And love like no other expressed for you and for me. I want to talk for a minute about love's response. Next Sunday, we are going to gather and we're going to celebrate the rest of the story. We're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But we're not going to go there today. Today we focus on the cross. And we consider our personal response to the cross and what it means for us. Because what happened there was very personal. Just a few hours before his betrayal, Jesus, knowing what was about to take place, gave his disciples a simple yet a profound act of loving response. It was during his Last Supper with them. And what he did is he taught his disciples about communion. To see in that moment the bread as his body, which was broken on the cross for them, and wine as his blood, which was spilled in a sacrifice for the forgiveness of their sins once and for all. This communion, this time together, would be a response of remembrance. It would be a loving response of remembrance for them and for us. Communion is this powerful and symbolic act of remembering and celebrating the redeeming work of the cross in our lives. I wonder if the band would just maybe go back and we're going to prepare to receive communion together. What I'd like us to do in this moment as we respond this way in an expression of love is to go to that place of understanding the cross in our lives. I wonder if we might try to kind of bring ourselves to the place where the disciples were on that night with Jesus. And to know that Jesus is as present with us today as he was with them. He is here just simply by his Spirit. But he is in this place. And the things that we've been talking about, his sacrifice for us, what that means for our lives, how it's transformed us, how we think, how we respond, how it's given us incredible promise, really and a promise of an eternity. When we look at this cross today, which is a symbol of that, I would pray that our hearts would just embrace the incredible truth of what happened that day. It's so easy, and I think Luke said it earlier, to see this symbol and just get used to it. We can get used to Easter as a season. We can just, think about it season after season, and we give it a few minutes in a day maybe. But I'm praying that that's not what would happen today. Just in our break, I was in my office, and I was on my knees, and I was praying for us that God would make this moment so real to us, that we would feel his very presence, just as the disciples did on that night when he shared that first communion with them. This season and this time of communion can be cathartic for us. It can take us from a place maybe where we've been sitting in our faith and allowed it to grow dormant and dull. This can be cathartic for us, and it can change us. Draw us closer to Jesus. There's also that moment that I talked about earlier where God's timing is perfect. And you know that in this community, we invite everybody to come. Whether you believe in Jesus or not, we think this is a good place to be. And so there may be a cathartic moment ahead for you if this is your time, the timing of Jesus in your life. And maybe you've heard some truths today that you hadn't understood before, the power of the cross and how it actually impacts your life very personally. And maybe today you're in that place. You've never decided to make Jesus the Lord of your life, but maybe today is the day that you do that because somehow the Spirit of God has been speaking to you and you get this. These moments ahead can be cathartic for us. They can change us. And before we go on to receive communion together, what I'd like us to do is just take a few minutes, just a few minutes to pray quietly. And if you're in that place today where you just need to get things right with Jesus, maybe things are not where they ought to be in your life, whatever. Maybe you're feeling separated from Him. Maybe this is a good time to get that right with Him and just pray because He is present. And maybe today you don't know Jesus as your Savior. And maybe today is the day that He would call you to that. Now, we're not going to ask you to do anything weird. We're just going to ask you to pray. That's all. Just pray. Jesus, to be honest, this is hard for us. Hard for us to even fathom the extent of your cross, what you did for us. Hard for us to fathom the pain that you bore. It's just hard for us. But I would pray, Lord, that in this moment, we would at least have a healthy glimpse. Lord, one that would draw us close to you and help us to recognize your incredible love for us, that you would send your Son, Jesus. Lord, for those who are away from you today, maybe life's been tough and we just haven't been where we ought to be. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for that. Help us to know your amazing grace and that it is sufficient. And for the one today, Lord, that would just receive you into their life, maybe for the first time, God, that today would be a day of incredible change and promise of life ahead. Without doubt, without worry, but just with love, your love. So we are going to share together in the Lord's Supper. May this communion that we take remind us of that first communion. May we feel the presence of Jesus in the same way. Certainly, our loving response has to be at that place where we keep Jesus at our center. But listen, the nature of the cross is such that its work in us transforms us. It really does. It transforms our thinking. And it transforms our behaviors and our actions. And, you know, walking as forgiven and free followers of Jesus, ultimately, over time, we become more like Him. Now, if you've been a believer for a while, you will know that we're not perfect at that. If you've ever been with Christians and you're not a believer, you will certainly have seen that. We're so not perfect. And yet part of this journey that Jesus calls us on to become more like Him, it's what we're to do. It is to receive that expression of love in us. But I'll tell you what, it's even more than that. As we are changed, ultimately, our desire is to see the world around us changed by the love of Christ. 1 John 4:11 says, "Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other." And so I want to go back to that picture that I began with today, and that was when we receive the love of God, it's like standing in a waterfall and it just pours over us. And that's when we know His love, right? We're drenched by that. But it was never meant to be that we would simply hold on to all of that water ourselves and somehow keep it to ourselves. The idea is that it would spill over us and into the world that is around us. That's how great God's love is. And our response is to be that way as well. In other words, what has happened here on the cross of Christ is not just for us. It is for a lost and a broken world. It's for a world that desperately needs truth. It's for a world that desperately needs to know
this kind of love. Not the kind of love that the world would define it to be, but the love of Jesus, which is the expression of true love. And so we need to be bold and courageous as we've been changed by this, the cross of Christ, not to hold it to ourselves, but to share it freely. And I think for us, that then becomes our mission. And our expression of love is when we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Our expression of love looks like the love that Jesus gave us. It can be sacrificial. We need to be a people who are willing to sacrifice for others. And our response of love means that we need to have mercy and grace as Jesus has had in our lives. May we be a loving people. May we be a people so transformed and changed by this sacrifice that they will know we are Christians by our love. Would you stand, everybody? I'd like to pray over us as we dismiss this service. Lord, today we have gathered together in your house, and we have tried our best to wrap our hearts and our minds around the cross, understanding that we're limited in that understanding. But by your Spirit, O God, we pray that there would just be a continued revealing of the truth of the cross, of the power of your forgiveness in our lives, of your incredible grace and your mercy. Lord, even as we go through this week and lead up to Good Friday and Easter Sunday, Jesus, may we do that as a changed and transformed people, drawn closer to you because of the truth of the cross and that wonderful sacrifice for us. And God, we pray that this world would know we are Christians by our love, the love that you have defined and poured so freely upon us. We give you thanks, oh God. You are amazing. In your name, we pray. And his people said, amen. Amen.